not as tall as Will. Good morning and happy Sabbath. But when we get to heaven, I'll be taller than Will. No, just kidding. What a blessing it is to welcome you here on this glorious Sabbath day. I don't know if you noticed a consistency in all the videos and participants that we had on video. Did you notice that all of them had sunshine? God has blessed us this week with wonderful weather. But not just that, most importantly, God has blessed us with the Son of Righteousness who lives in your heart and in mine. And he's wanting to do great and amazing things in our lives this very day, even more so this day on this holy Sabbath day. Before we get into this morning's message, I have some things to share, but first and foremost, I'd like to reiterate what I shared last Sabbath. As we see a greatly empty sanctuary, Jesus makes the Sabbath and church beautiful. And not only does he do that, but also so do you. And so you are missed here in the church house, per se. How soon, we don't know just yet when we'll be able to congregate again. I think we are getting closer to that moment. But the government, as well as our local conference, will be giving us instructions. So hang in there, church. Hang in there. Soon you'll be able to share your beauty together here at the same time, at the same place. And we look forward to that. I have some good news and some opportunistic news. I'll give you the good news first. The good news is I am still your pastor. And I praise God for that because it's a privilege and a joy to serve you and the church family. The opportunistic news is our church is now part of a church district. And this change came about just this last week. I came to hear about it, at least the final detail. I heard the first details on Wednesday, and I heard the last details on Thursday. So it's not like I knew a long time ago, but it was specific to this past week. We have a sister church now. Who is that sister church? It is our brothers and sisters in Myrtle Creek. And so one of the transitions that we'll be having is that I will be preaching here, give or take, the first Sabbath of the month, first and third Sabbath specifically. And then the second and fourth, I will be down at Myrtle Creek ministering there. And so I say that this is opportunistic news because this gives us as leaders more of an opportunity to step up and do the work of ministry that God has called us to do. And so I covet your prayers in this transition, but also pray for your brothers and sisters in our sister church, Myrtle Creek, as they start a new chapter as well. There'll be opportunities for us to do things together and learn from each other and collaborate. All right. Let us bow our heads as we get into this morning's message. Loving Father, I thank you because you are the giver of every good gift. And today is no different. You want to give us something good, and not just something good, you want to further make us into your likeness. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit. Your word says, without you, we can do nothing. And so may you further move upon our minds and our hearts, and may you speak your word of truth, and may there be much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. There once was a hypochondriac in an empty waiting room, waiting to see the doctor, worrying about what could possibly be wrong with him. Could it be this? Could it be that? it must be this or the other, or maybe it's the worst that I have, as worry gripped him as he waited for the doctor to see him. One by one, people started entering the waiting room. And the first person who entered holding their left arm. And this man who was already waiting in the waiting room looked at the man who had just entered with his arm pain, started thinking that maybe he too had pain in his left arm. And so he started rubbing his left arm. But then came in another patient after this man. And this patient, she had her hand on her head because she had some head pain. And as this man looked at her, he thought, maybe I too have head pain. And he started rubbing his head. A few moments later, a pregnant woman entered the room. And he bolts for the door as he started to fear that, oh no, maybe he was pregnant and that was his problem. It was just too much for him to bear. Oh my. Pregnancy. Did you know that there's belly aching in pregnancy? Could there be some belly aching going on? In fact, I had to do a little bit of research this past week. There are specific belly aches that are quite pertinent in pregnancy. The first of which, a very big bellyache, would happen to be related to gas. Why is this such a pain in pregnancy? Well, food remains in the colon longer, which allows more gas to develop. According to the Mayo Clinic, this also is due to the increased progesterone. Progesterone causes intestinal muscles to relax and it extends the time it takes for food to get through the intestines. Food remains there and that allows more gas to develop. But guess what? There's good news for this bellyache. What's the good news? What's the solution? More water, more exercise, stay away from fried foods and carbonated drinks. That's not the only bellyache in pregnancy, but the second one would be round ligament pain. What is that about? There are two round ligaments that run from the uterus through the groin. These ligaments support the uterus. As the uterus stretches to accommodate the growing baby, so do the ligaments. And thus, this causes great sharp pain in the abdomen, hips, and groin. And the shifting of the position of the mom or sneezing or coughing can trigger this round ligament pain. And this usually occurs around halfway through the pregnancy. What is the solution? Practice getting up slowly if you're sitting up or lying down. Do daily stretching. This will help alleviate this round ligament pain. There's a third bellyache during pregnancy. What would that be? Constipation. Constipation is a common complaint amongst pregnant women. There is fluctuating hormones, diet that's short on fluids or fiber, or lack of exercise or iron pills. Generally, anxiety as well all lead to the same place. What is that? Constipation. What's the solution? Increase the fiber in the diet. Increase fluids as well. And that will help alleviate the pain. And the last bellyache during pregnancy is, granted, there's other ones under pregnancies that are threatened, but these are the most common ones under a regular pregnancy. What would be the last bellyache during pregnancy? Braxton Hicks contractions. What would that be? False contractions. What is the solution? Just give it time, and you will have the real contractions. I did not come here to tell you about belly aching during pregnancy or the belly aches during pregnancy. Actually, there's belly aches in the church. during pregnancy, starting with gas. What is this bellyache in the church due to gas? Well, this comes from food remaining in the colon longer, which allows more gas to develop. Makes me wonder, could there be food staying in us longer than it's supposed to? Maybe as if we're trying to rely on a previous spiritual experience. Maybe relying on last week's sermon. Maybe relying on some sermon you heard somewhere some time ago, and now it's been a while since you've had a daily experience with Jesus in his word, just you and him alone. Could this be a cause for gas in the church? Well, what's the solution? Just as in the regular pregnancy, water is the solution. The Bible says, Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That is the water that is available to you and I every single day. Praise the Lord. But that's not the only solution for this gas issue in pregnancy in the church. Also, it is a need of exercise. What does that exercise look like? Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jeremiah says, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You see, a divided heart makes it smell bad. Not being with Jesus makes it really smell bad. Maybe it's time to smell good. Don't they have some air fresheners around here? The Bible talks about an air freshener. 2 Corinthians 2:14 to 16. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? Knowing Jesus not only makes us smell good, but knowing Jesus has to be so much that it's striking to the people around us, where they stop and ask us, where'd you get that stuff? I gotta have it. And to some people, the aroma and the fragrance of Christ will be the last thing they'll want to smell. I wonder if maybe it's time for a new aroma during this pregnancy. Instead of the gas of not knowing Jesus as we should and having a daily relationship with him, a daily experience, maybe it's time we are so filled with Jesus, living by his word and being empowered through his spirit, that others will want to as well. Because, you know, during this quarantine, we could be getting a little antsy. And not just a little antsy, we could be doing a little belly aching. It makes me think of somebody else who was in quarantine. A man by the name of Noah. The Bible says, then the Lord said to Noah, come where? Into the ark, Genesis 7 verse 1, and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Noah and his family were in the ark much longer than this quarantine will ever be. I say by faith, I pray. Lord willing, we are through this quarantine much sooner than later, but he was in that ark roughly around a year. Could you imagine what that must have been like? And yet we are here in 2020. And some of us are griping.
Some of us talk as if we don't know how this story ends.
Which story?
The story of how the world will end. We act as if the decisions being made by our government are surprising. I mean, could we actually still be thinking that the government is going to get its act together and be the utopia our politicians would have us think it will be? Utopia this side of Jesus' second coming will never be. Every step that government takes in restricting our liberties inches us closer to the time when we will not be able to worship according to the dictates of conscience. But by the same token, our governments are to be respected, even if we disagree with them. Romans 13, verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." That our liberties are being taken away? Yes, they are. But what we are currently being told to do does not violate the law of God, and that's the issue. Therefore, the Bible tells us to be subject to the governing authorities. Because if we continue with this rhetoric, it could get smelly for the wrong reasons. Could be a little gas. What's the second pain during pregnancy? That would be round ligament pain. There's those two round ligaments that run from the uterus to the groin. We also see that that is prevalent in this pregnancy in the church. And the solution for this belly ache in regular pregnancy is to not get up so quickly. What does that mean? Don't move so fast. Almost as if there's a lack of patience. The Bible says, Revelation 14, 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Sometimes we got some impatient saints. Saints who are just moving way too fast. So fast that they lose sight of what's right in front of them. What's the most basic thing for a Bible-believing Christian? It's to love God and keep his commandments. And yet we may be wanting the fruit of the Spirit without abiding in the vine. John 15, 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who does what? Abides in me, and I in them, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." I've got to stay with Jesus. I've got to move with Jesus. And when we don't seek Jesus and hold on to Jesus and stay with Jesus and move with Jesus, you ought to know what happens in our Christian journey. We're going too fast. And that brings about pain. We got to slow down. We have to become patient. Patient with Romans 2, 7 says, "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." If physical stretching is needed to deal with this bellyache, then how much more spiritually? What a blessing to make our Heavenly Father happy in doing what is right. You know those words that the Father said to the Son at his baptism and then in the transfiguration? I want that to be said of me. I want that to be said of all of us. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Praise the Lord." We are seeking glory, honor, and immortality, are we not? Here's the third pain The third ache in the church during pregnancy, constipation. This is where the food that we ate stays with us longer than it should, and now it's causing us pain. You see, the food needs to go. It can't stay with us forever. If that is the case during pregnancy, then what is it for the church? What is it that needs to go? The Bible's so clear. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The food that we eat, the solid food, the food that isn't watered down so that it makes me happy and makes me look good. No, the Word of God as it is, the Word of God that's full of spiritual fiber, the Word of God that makes us want to go, it makes us want to move. Are we moving, church family? Pastor, we're in a pandemic. If we're eating, then we must move and go. If we're not eating, that means also we are not moving. Matthew 4:19 says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We can't be, at least in our minds, following Jesus and not fishing at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. If we're not fishing, then are we really following? Listen to this. Because we know not the exact time of his coming, we are commanded to watch. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Luke 12:37. Those who watch for the Lord's coming are not waiting in idle expectancy. The expectation of Christ's coming is to make men fear the Lord and fear his judgments upon transgression. It is to awaken them to the great sin of rejecting his offers of mercy. Those who are watching for the Lord are purifying their souls by obedience to the truth. With vigilant watching, they combine earnest working because they know that the Lord is at the door. Their zeal is quickened to cooperate with divine intelligences in working for the salvation of souls. These are the faithful and wise servants who give to the Lord's household their portion of meat in due season, Luke 12:42. They are declaring the truth that is now specially applicable as Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Moses each declared the truth for his time. So will Christ's servants now give the special warning for their generation. I want to give the truth for this time to this generation. How about you? Let's go to the last ache in the church during pregnancy. Braxton Hicks contractions. Do you remember what that was in regular pregnancy? That is false contractions. Could there be false contractions in the church? And if so, how do we tell that there are false contractions? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. These are the real, the true contractions. False Christs, wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, false prophets, the preaching of the gospel. This, what's happening right here, right now, the Bible studies that are taking place throughout the week, the sharing of Jesus that you do in the community, that is a sign of Jesus' second coming. Praise the Lord. the abomination of desolation that occurred during the 1260 years of the reign of the papacy. That's a sign of Jesus' second coming. That's a contraction. The sun being darkened and the stars falling in the late 1700s and early 1800s, those are contractions. And these contractions continue and further get more and more intense as the day dawns. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 8, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Here's another reality of our current situation, of this last bellyache in this pregnancy. And I say this because this is going to happen. How we react in that time, I pray that our minds are made up today that will affect us then. Listen to this. Everything in the world is an agitation. The signs of the times are ominous. Coming events cast their shadows before. The Spirit of God is withdrawing from the earth. And calamity follows calamity by sea and by land. There are tempests, earthquakes, fires, floods, murders of every grade. Who can read the future? Where is security? There is assurance in nothing that is human or earthly. Rapidly are men raging themselves under the banner they have chosen. Restlessly are they waiting and watching the movements of their leaders. There are those who are waiting and watching and working for our Lord's appearing. And another class are falling into line under the generalship of the first great apostate. Few believe, heart and soul, that we have a hell to shun and a heaven to win. The Spirit of God is being withdrawn. We're worshiping together as if we think that the Holy Spirit is going to be here in this same capacity forever. This could be the last time the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart. What are we doing about it? There's one bellyache, as we've talked about these four bellyaches in the church. There's one bellyache we have not talked about that's not on the screen. It is suffering. Before the baby comes, there is suffering. Women in the delivery room tell their husbands, "You did this to me." They're in so much pain that they would like to reconsider their current predicament. And before the baby comes, we too will be faced with eternal choices. As the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. By uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address, who once rejoiced in the truth, implore their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. It's not a time to profess we believe in the everlasting gospel and the three angels' messages. It's a time to live the everlasting gospel and the three angels' messages. Or we may just end up on the wrong side. Could we be preoccupied with
the ache or aches and lose sight of the baby. I'd like to thank the church for their graciousness in replacing my stolen guitar. It was ordered last week, and the delivery company, of which I'll refrain of sharing the name, said that it would arrive Friday at the end of the day, yesterday. Fridays are a very crazy time in the Rodriguez home, extremely busy to say the least. You add in a midday nap for the babies, and then hoping that the delivery doesn't occur during their nap, for when they finally fall asleep. And you're starting to be very, very observant of Mr. Delivery Man for the sake of not waking anybody up. Time would go by and no delivery. We had an elders meeting on Zoom yesterday. And guess what? No delivery. The sun set, and I had already decided in my heart that if the package were to arrive on the Sabbath, for the sun was starting to set, I would not open the package until after Sabbath, for I wanted my soul focus to be on Jesus. To say the least, the delivery still hasn't come. And then as I was trying to sleep last night, as the Munchkins had a bad night, it dawned on me. Could we be so focused on temporary things? Things that someday we will not only leave behind, but they're gonna burn. I had spent the day tiptoeing here and there, looking like Fred Flintstone, praying that no one would wake up because of the delivery man. Is the delivery man waking you up? Is the delivery man waking me up? Sometimes we have more faith in something we order from Amazon than faith in the soon return of Christ. I want Jesus to wake me up. How about you? Could we be so focused on the aches of the world, so focused on the aches of the church, that we lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming? Oh, he's coming soon. And I want to be ready. I want to be woken up from my regular activity. I want to be woken up from my spiritual nap. I want to be woken up and be ready for when he shall come. Every bellyache in pregnancy is also seen in the church. But even with all that I've mentioned here, there's still something else that occurs as the baby is about to come. What is it? Well, that's simple. The water breaks. The water breaks, and soon thereafter, the baby comes. Maybe the water broke for you when you were baptized and you were sure you were ready for Jesus' second coming. When your heart naturally desired to seek him each and every day and you couldn't but help talk about Jesus. But now time has gone by and maybe the fervor and the passion and the consecration just isn't burning as it used to. And as you're thinking about Jesus' return, it's simply a nice thought, but leads us to do nothing more than that. Could there be a water breaking for you and for me even today? Turn with me to 2 Peter 3. I put up all the other texts on the screen. Let's get our thumbs moving. 2 Peter 3, verses 2 and on. The Bible says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And here's the good news. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My question for us today, who needs to come to repentance? Is it you? Is it me? Is it them? The baby is still in the belly. Why? So that we may not perish, but may come to repentance. And this baby isn't coming as the baby found in the Gospels, as he did in the first time. He's coming as the King of glory that he is. And if he's coming as the King of glory, in all of his glory, glory can only welcome glory. The glory of God in you. The glory of God in me. What is this glory? Christ, the hope of glory. And this hasn't happened because God is wanting us all to come to repentance. Our last verse for today, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins, that my sins be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord in my life today prepares me for the presence of the Lord when he comes. And today, God's sweet Holy Spirit is calling you and I to repent and be converted. Repent? But Pastor, there's nothing wrong with me. What do I need to repent of? Lord, have mercy on us if we believe this lie. It is not a time to deceive ourselves. It is time to seek the Lord. It's that water, the water of the Holy Spirit, leading us to repentance, bringing about that change of conversion in your life and in my life that allows us to receive this baby that is to come, Jesus. The thing is, some of us don't want this water to break. Some of us don't want this baby to come. If Corona was bad, I don't want what the rest of Revelation is talking about to happen. Well, guess what? It's happening. I believe it. Do you? Jesus so wants you with him. Jesus died for you. Jesus is preparing a place for you and I as we speak. Repent. for the kingdom of God is at hand. As I said earlier, this could be the Holy Spirit's last invitation to you and to myself. Will we let it pass by? Or will we say, this is my last opportunity. This is my way out. I'm getting out of my life of sin. I'm leaving behind my pride. I'm leaving behind my life of addiction, my life of anger, my life of bitterness, my life of selfishness. This is what Jesus wants to do in your life and in mine. And the truth is, Jesus can do this and so much more if we let him. What a day of repentance we are given today. What a day for the change that Jesus wants to do in our lives. Praise the Lord for the bellyaches, because that must mean one thing and one thing only. The baby is on its way. The hymn writer says the following words. Watch ye saints, with eyelids waking. Lo, the powers of heaven are shaking. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning, ready for your Lord's returning. Lo, he comes. Yes, Jesus comes. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Jesus comes. Yes, Jesus comes. Lo, the promise of your Savior. Pardon sin and purchase favor. Blood-washed robes and crowns of glory. Haste to tell redemption's story. Lo, he comes. Lo, Jesus comes, and he comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Lo, he comes. Yes, Jesus. And here's your invitation in mind. Sinners, come while Christ is pleading. Now for you he's interceding. Haste ere grace and time diminished shall proclaim the mysteries finished. Lo, he comes. Lo, he comes. He comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Lo, he comes. Yes, Jesus comes. If this is your desire, to seek Jesus this day, to let the water of the Holy Spirit descend upon you with great power to lead us to repentance, to lead us to the change that will enable us to see Jesus in all of his glory, I'd like to invite you right where you're sitting right now to just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm making my mind up. I've made my choice to be ready for the soon return of Christ. I have made my decision to leave my sins behind and to hold on to Jesus today and always. I want to be ready today. I don't want to put it off any longer. Father, I praise you. Because everywhere we look, we see the signs of Christ's soon return. The aches of the belly are all around us. The contractions are left and right. And Father, may we not get used to the aches and to the contractions. May we anticipate the soon return of Christ. May we be woken up from our slumber as we prepare and further hasten the soon return of Christ. Father, wake us up. May we take advantage of the abundant blessing of your Spirit and what he's wanting to do in our lives this very day. Move your church, O God, for soon we will see what we have believed by faith. We will see it with our own eyes. Thank you for your word of truth. May we believe your truth and live your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church family. And as I say nightly, God loves you and we do too. Bye-bye now. God bless.